Last night, the Hong Kong International Jockeys Challenge or Championship, and Sylvester D'Souza and Tom Marquand were the joint winners there last night. Jamie Carr, fifth. Hugh Bowman, sixth. Equal sixth. James McDonald, equal ninth. There are points over the four races of the meeting at Happy Valley there last night. And they got the big international meeting, of course, this Sunday. And we had the barrier draw yesterday for the Ingham on Saturday, the favourite Nugget, which I need to check this latest market, but yesterday it was 440 into 380 with Tab, even though it's a second emergency Nugget. And yeah, that is still the case. 360, in fact, now the second emergency and favourite is Nugget in the market with Tab. Drew 15, but would come into 14, I think, if naturally it got a start. But the top weight, Huaita, barrier 8, is the $6 second elect, and you needed a rating of 96 just to get a start. And we spoke to Adrian Bott early this morning, and the Waterhouse Bott runners, they all drew wide, 17, 19, and 22, being Riadini and Dajran, both those $8 in the betting. In fact, Riadini $8.50 now. In fact, both of those have drifted a half a point to $8.50, Riadini and Dajran. And Surf Dancer, the other runner in the race for the Waterhouse Bott Yard. And it is a $21 chance, $7 the place. So it'll be over to the Loz tomorrow for the multi again. Last week, we got the first leg, which was the odds-on favourite, which ran second. We needed a top two, Gaza Blanca, but unfortunately, our runner down in Pakenham is still running.
Did no good, mate. Did no good. As has happened a lot of times this year.
Our great mate.
Can we actually get a look at that success rate this year, Loz?
Oh, don't start. Some people claim they've got spreadsheets, Clark.
I just want to know, are you still in front?
Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Well, then nothing to worry about.
Well, that's what I've been saying all the way through Popster.
And, yeah, I'm with you.
You know, we're just having a go here on this program. I'm trying to get the multis up. It's always difficult without knowing track patterns and the like. What are you laughing at?
Oh, gosh.
But I'll have another crack. It'll be my last crack. No, I've got two more to go this year. What are you laughing at?
Oh, I hope some of your friends and your neighbour are listening to this. You making excuses, putting the multi out without knowing track patterns and conditions on the day. And
conditions. If you're a punter, you're not having a go until you see all the information at your disposal. And I like to punt, seeing what the track conditions
are. Watch the first couple of races.
Yeah. Do my homework.
See, they're up on speed. Yeah. Back markers coming from the getting.
See where they can run on.
Yeah.
Middle of the track.
All right. Well, we're going to talk some football. Huge weekend. In fact, the A-League resumes tomorrow night. And we've got World Cup quarterfinals, four belting quarterfinals as well. And our man Archie Thompson joining us again. Good morning, Archie.
Hey, boys, how are we?
Really well, thank you. Now, there's a sense of anticipation, you'd have to say, for the A-League resumption this week with the Socceroos returning. And it looks like a lot of them we'll see on the park.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. I'm going to be flying up, actually, for the Saturday game, Melbourne City versus Sydney. I'm not sure if Leckie is going to be starting that one, but I'm sure he'll be along. But, yeah, it's good. I feel like there's a bit of hype around football. A lot of hype around football. And it's good because it just kicks off our A-League season again. And I feel like the back end of this one's going to be exciting. And there's a couple of big games, especially here in Melbourne. Like, we've got a few derbies ahead and already they're being sold out before Christmas. And like you said, quarterfinals, football. And boys, I got 8 hours sleep last night because I didn't have to wake up early. I'm alive.
Look out. You won't know what to do with yourself today, Arch. You'll actually be more tired today.
Man, I'm in a daze already. I don't know what to do with myself for 8 hours. I feel fresh. I'm excited about football starting with the quarterfinals and obviously A-League this week.
Buddy, what have you made of the Ronaldo situation? Good call from the coach to bench him. And we've had a conversation here yesterday around, was he benched for discipline reason? Was he benched because he's not playing his best footy? And also, is Portugal a better team without him?
Well, look, I will say I don't feel like he's had much impact in the World Cup when I've watched a lot of the Portuguese games. I know that his presence sometimes plays a factor, but I feel like that's kind of dwindling a little bit. But I won't go against him being an absolute goat. And, you know, but I feel like they were definitely a lot better because they've got mobility in the guy that came on. And, hey, he scores three goals.
Three goals, so exactly.
I know that deep down Ronaldo will be cursing him, for sure. But also, too, like, you got to put your selfish, you know, I guess, aside with what you want to be personal. Like, I feel like Ronaldo, there's a lot of personal stuff that he wants to win a World Cup. This is his last opportunity. He wants to show people that or doubters about, you know, that whole saga with Manchester United. So I feel like there's that bit of selfishness there and that he wants to do that. But we all have it. We wouldn't be in sports. There wasn't a bit of sense of selfishness there. Because I know that being in team environments, as much as you want the team to perform, you will do just as well, you know. So I guess for him, he probably wanted to prove a lot of those doubters wrong. And unfortunately, it's kind of not the case. And sometimes I feel like you just got to take a backwards seat and just watch, hopefully, the team do well because he's going to have some kind of impact. Whether it's off the bench, I feel like that's going to be his role for the rest of the tournament. But, yeah, look, I feel like, too, it's sometimes it's hard to taper down an ego, too, because I felt like there was maybe some footage of him leaving a little bit early, maybe not celebrating with the Portuguese players. After a massive win, they're in a quarterfinals. They can, and the way they did it, too, was pretty impressive. Mm. So, for him, he's still an opportunity to win a World Cup, which is the only trophy that he hasn't won, and which is so hard to do. Like, it's 4 years. It's every 4 years, and you're playing against the world's best. Mm. And Portugal have been phenomenal. Yeah. But there's a lot more nations that are a bit better in those tournaments.
Now, this is probably a hard question to answer.
Oh, mate, is it because I had 8 hours? You go, oh, you know what? Archie's had 8 hours.
So are you in the Messi or Ronaldo corner as the greatest of all time? Or if one of them went on and won this World Cup, would that make them then the best?
Well, it's a hard one because, like, I can see both are completely different players. Like, you got Messi, who's just absolute raw talent, like raw talent. And with Cristiano Ronaldo, like, there's unbelievable talent there, but he's had to work extremely hard to get to that level. It's like almost Messi. I'm not saying that Messi hasn't had to work, but he probably finds that a lot easier than maybe what Ronaldo has. And I just felt like poor Ronaldo, he just seems to have all these doubters every single... He's always has to prove something. Like, you know, when Messi comes on, it's all like, he's a goat. He doesn't really need to do anything. Ronaldo, it's like every match, there's always that, oh, I have to prove that I'm, you know, one of the world's best, which is I feel, tough on him. And there's a lot of expectations on that. But... I don't know if I answered that question, but I will sit on fence because I think they're both pretty phenomenal.
They go all right, no doubt about that. Now, Archie, okay, World Cup quarterfinals, and salivating, aren't they? Brazil, Croatia, Argentina, Netherlands. The winner of those two games will play in the semi-final, and then you've got Morocco and Portugal and England and France. What a game that's going to be. So who are you fancying? Who's going to meet in the semi-finals after Saturday and Sunday morning's matches?
Wow, look, I feel like it's definitely got to be Brazil because they're amazing. And the way they kind of dismantled that South Korean team was unbelievable to watch. And then you've got Argentina, Netherlands. Netherlands are just didn't look good in the group. But then they came out and really just flogged USA. And then, so I feel like Argentina will win that one. Well, and Brazil-Argentina for a semi-final.
Oh,
like,
how enormous is that? If that happens.
Mate, I feel like they kind of hate each other in terms of with football. Who's better? You know, obviously for Brazil, they play the more beautiful football. I feel like Argentina play beautiful football, but they've got that bit of mongrel about them too, like that real sort of street smart, but that will be incredible. I would have loved to have seen that in the final, but unfortunately, the way the draw is, that's not going to happen. And then on the flip side, you got England versus France. Like, that's history. Like, there's a lot of history. I was never in the history class because I was always wagging, but I'm pretty sure that England and France are not bad, like, in terms of, you know, what history they have just outside of football. So I feel like England for that one, because they've just got depth and got firepower. I like France. I just don't feel like they've got another Mbappe on the bench, or Dembele, or, you know, Giroud, that they'd probably miss when they've lost a lot of those players leading in the World Cup. And the other one, wow, Croatia. Who is Portugal?
Morocco,
Portugal?
Yeah.
Oh, Morocco. Oh, yes. Well, I should know that. But Morocco, wow, they were surprised Spain, even though I watched that game. It was boring as hell because, you know, sometimes Spain play beautiful football but really don't attack. Morocco, a good team. Like, they're solid. So I'm a bit – I don't know that one. That's a bit tough. But Portugal, the way they tore, how can I say it? Switzerland, a new one. So I think, like, they can – I feel like Portugal will win that. So you've got Portugal, England, and that'll lead into the World Cup. It's pretty incredible. But you're going to have to ask the octopus. There's an octopus that's the octopus that pretty much knows. Yeah, the octopus knows a lot more than what I do when it comes to football.
Hey, Arch, I'll tell you what I found surprising. And I don't know whether you have it all, but I just thought that England and France would have played a lot more games through their history. This will be only their 32nd time they've come up against each other.
Wow. Well, 32 times is still a lot. Like, you know, because I think when it comes to qualifications and World Cups, sometimes you don't necessarily play the countries that are around you or in Europe very often. So they've had some pretty good meetings. Like, when those 32 games have been played, don't get me wrong, there's been fireworks and they've been really entertaining games. But this one, I feel a little bit different. I just feel like it's definitely swaying more to the English, as much as we hate to say it. But it's going to be a cracker, whatever game there is. I tell you what, it's pretty phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. And I get a couple of days where I can rest up for it, because there's going to be a lot of excitement.
Okay, so Archie tipping Brazil, Argentina and England, Portugal to be the four semi-finalists. Now, just before you go, got to get your thoughts on the A-League game you're covering for Network 10 and Paramount Plus Saturday night. So Melbourne City, who were $2.40 favourites with Tab, against Sydney FC, $2.80, and the draw paying $3.50. So can Sydney FC, I guess, halt this momentum that Melbourne City built up just before the break for the World Cup? And Sydney FC, they've just struggled to find the balance, Archie, haven't they, between attack and defence? They've scored 11 goals, but leaked 12.
Yeah, I know. And they play again at home, and they haven't been really getting the results. They've been playing some decent football, but they haven't been getting results at home. I just wonder if that might play a factor with this Melbourne City team. But on the flip side of that is that Melbourne City have lost their manager, who's gone over to France to take up an assistant role to Mombart, who used to be at Melbourne City, and which is fantastic, pretty amazing. Like, he's the first kind of, I think he's the first manager to be sort of be in Europe in that sort of one of the top five leagues in the world, which is fantastic for him. I wonder how that's going to play with the Melbourne City guys, but it's a hard one. I feel like I'm going to go for Sydney in this, because they need to start to get their season well. Maybe that break over this World Cup period is helped them. But in saying that, they've got a couple of World Cup players that are going to be representing the Melbourne City team that'll be eager to get out and showcase what they've kind of done in the World Cup. And it's funny, when you come back from national team, especially World Cup, the confidence you have is pretty incredible. But I feel like Sydney might win this one and kind of get their season kick-started again.
Well, Archie, appreciate your time as always, mate. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy that game Saturday night, and we'll catch you next week.
Beautiful, boys. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Preview the second test with our man who played 24 tests for Australia, Stewie Clark. Stewie, good morning.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Firstly, here we are on a match day, talking about Sandpapergate, I guess, digging it up again off the back of Dave Warner's statement. What did you make of it last night, as he basically said, well, stuff you, I'm not even going to bother. going through this process with Cricket Australia or the independent investigation to try and become a leader again?
Oh, mate, it's sort of... When they changed the... When they went back... let's start with... I didn't agree with the long-term ban anyway. I thought it was... It was just wrong. So now that it's happened, I looked over some time to his opinion. I think, quite frankly, mate, he sits there and goes, well, I'm going to go through all this sort of stuff. How long is it going to take? What's going to happen? And then where am I going to get to at the end? He's already a leader in that team. They already respect him. They already talk to him. He'll never be captain of Australia. But at his age, was he ever going to be captain anyway? And I think he's just looked at it and gone, why am I doing all of this? Putting my family, fans, everyone through it. For actually no practical result.
Stewie, I got a text message here from Jason from Darlington Point. He goes, guys, did you hear Stewie Clark saying on back page about the English player wiping the ball on the spinner's head? What about sunscreen? And he said, does that help reverse? Is that ball tampering?
Well, I made the comment that it's a bit odd. I'm not saying they were ball tampering, but you don't see... Well, put it this way. Imagine if one of the Australians had done that. We'd all be jumping up and down. Now, I'm not saying he had anything on his head. I'm not saying that that's the case. And full credit to him. It was a great test match. The ball did reverse around corners, but it just, it was a bit odd. And I was putting my Australian cricket hat on, and I went, well, if one of the Australian guys had done that now, we'd all be singing from high heaven about, you know, what's going on.
But, Stewie, this is my beef, right? Australian player wouldn't do it because they're so scared of what people are going to think. But there's nothing wrong with it. They're wiping sweat off a forehead onto a cricket ball. Is that's legal? This is my concern with this current Australian team, and has been since Sandpapergate. We are 100%. Walking on eggshells because we're so scared what everyone thinks. 100%. Is it right? Is it legal? Is it wrong? Is it illegal? If it's the second two, don't do it. If it's the first two, boys, go hard. Do what you got to do. You're playing sport at the highest level. Stop caring about being liked by everyone.
I heard you talking about this. It's actually, when you're in that team, Puff, as you know, as we've talked about many times, it's about winning games of cricket. And if you're winning, the public come back. There's a way and a means to do it.
Of course.
If they're wiping sweat off his head, well, that's no different than wiping sweat off your arm.
Exactly,
you can't put
right.
saliva on the ball. You can't put saliva on the ball anymore. That's not allowed. COVID and... Let's be honest, it was a disgusting, filthy habit anyway. but sweat, like, no great drama. Yeah, I don't know what he had on. He's got sun cream on his head, so be it. I'd have sun cream on my head if I was going to bowl lots of overs and stand there. But the Australian team won't do that now. They hardly, if you watch closely, they shine the ball, but they dry shine it. They don't put anything on it. No. They're very nervous about it. And like, the ball reverses a little bit, but we couldn't get it to do what... When we played in Pakistan a little while back, they weren't getting the ball to reverse like Jimmy Anderson did.
Okay, yeah. The team for this test then, Pat Cummins out, so Scott Boland comes in. Would you have played Lance Morris, Stewie? If you're ever going to play him, is it now?
I'm not in terms of Scott Boland, I wouldn't have. Scott Boland's definitely in the team after what he did, his heroics last year, and then sort of been on the sideline again. Stark and Hazelwood have got a great record down there. But there would have been, I'm sure that would have been a discussion, but another test match for your country. Stark and Hazelwood, they would have done all the testing on them. They would have seen where their bodies are. They would have also asked them how they're feeling. No player will ever want to miss a game. That's never the point. But I don't think... They've got him in the group, and I think they've got him in the group to be around the group and understand and learn and be part of the Australian setup. He'll get his opportunity. I wouldn't have played him in this test match.
Buddy, we spoke the other day just about test cricket in general in Australia with this current Australian team. Are you a fan of the day-night test? Do you like it? And are you expecting people to turn up to, obviously, this test match in Adelaide?
It's changed the game a little bit. It's not a... The ball does do ridiculous things under light. Start swinging around corners. It's very, very hard to bat. I am a fan of it. I heard you speaking the other day. I don't think there should be any more than one. I like the tradition of test cricket and what it is. The other thing that plays into this whole thing is the conditions. And Adelaide is perfect because the ball doesn't, you know, the ball and the wicket sort of, it doesn't react. We had one in Brisbane against Sri Lanka, might have been 3 or 4 years ago, and the ball was swinging around corners because of the heat, the humidity, and the ball swings up there anyway, and the pink ball just accentuated it. They've helped the pink ball a bit.
but I wouldn't be going over the top with pink ball cricket. I think, one, a test match, it's a novelty. I think people in Adelaide do like their pink balls, and I think they will turn up for this game. Hopefully it goes for long enough.
Exactly. Now, just before you go, Stewie, Willow from Windsor asked Stewie how he pulled up after two Saturdays spent at Benson's Lane playing fourth grade.
Not good. Well, given I got three this week and only batted for about 15 balls, and I was fine right as rain.
Where do you bat, Stewie? What number?
Six, I think.
In fourth grade, and you're still batting sixth.
Yeah, well, that's why I got three, mate. That's probably answers
Stewie,
that question.
You should be moving up the order. Mate,
he should be on the couch. That's what he should be doing.
I was going to say, isn't this sitting inspiring on the beach? You, Clarky? Come on, mate. Put the one game out. Fourth grade.
Go
come on,
to the beach, mate. Benson's Lane for three runs. What are you thinking?
Well, mate, don't you know, helping out the young blokes. Can I tell you what was worse? We had to field for 80 overs the week before.
Yeah, you're helping out the young blokes when you're getting out for three.
Just talk
to get
them.
Out of the way, mate. You're taking a young kid's spot. Get out of it, would you?
You have to sign the team sheet now. So, you know, and because of all the rules about how many overs they can bowl and stuff, you've got to put their ages down. It went 47, 16, 15, 17, 16, 16, 16, 17, 15, 19. That was it. Mate, I didn't even sit with them. I didn't know what to talk to them about.
You play PlayStation during the lunch break?
We got on Insta and we floated about with all the kids. And, you know, we talked about what our homework was this week.
Oh, brilliant. Daddy daycare.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, it was. I went and sat with the parents. I'm the same age as the parents, so.
Oh, so good.
All right, Stewie, thanks so much, mate. Chat soon.
Good on you, boys. Enjoy the cricket tonight.
Not a scoreboard update, but how about this for a contract over in the States? The New York Yankees have fended off offers from the likes of the San Francisco Giants in particular, also the San Diego Padres, to re-sign Aaron Judge. Is certainly one of the best hitters, if not the best hitter in the major league over there. And Judge became a free agent after the season that's just gone. $360 million, that's US, over 9 years. So that's $40 million a year, which in Australian dollars, 59.4 million Australian. 59 million Australian.
How does that compare to NFL players?
Well, you look at Rodgers and Kyler Murray, they're on about 40.
It's
similar, but the difference is these are longer contracts. In the NFL, well, Patrick Mahomes is on a 10-year contract, but it's not quite to that level.
Right.
The quarterback market in the last 18 months has exploded.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray, one of the worst contracts ever, that'll proved to be, as will the Russell Wilson one at Denver.
Yeah,
but they're in the 40 to 45 million category at the moment, but usually for about 4 years.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because you talk about quarterbacks. Look, Lamar Jackson,
he's backing himself.
Yeah,
and he's probably regressed this season.
Well, he has, and he's starting to get some injuries to his legs, and he relies a lot on his legs.
Gosh, there's some money over there.
But that's a big number, isn't it?
We're talking about the salary cap here in the NRL, maybe getting to $11 million. Well, that's one player. No salary cap in baseball. He's in the NFL. But yeah, wow. You're talking nearly $60 million Australian for 9 years for Aaron Judge.
He's got a talent.
1353 53 is the number. Send us a text 0419 767 272. Just some rugby league news. We spoke earlier this morning about Sifa Talakai. So he's extended for 3 years there at the Sharks. He'll be there till the end of 2026. Denny Widler, our man, tweeted that last night. Just at the Dolphins as well, Loz, still got five roster spots to fill there. And Wayne Bennett yesterday, when asked about, you know, bolstering the spine positions, he said that, well, he doesn't think that they'll get anybody there that they want at the moment. And he mentioned they're negotiating with Tessie New there at the Broncos. He wouldn't name others. They've been strongly linked, though, to Dylan Brown and making big, big offers for him, or a big, big offer. But as it stands at the moment, their halves are, Sean O'Sullivan and Anthony Milford. Although I think Isaiah Katoa, he's going to be playing a lot of first grade this year.
Yeah.
We saw him for Tonga, a schoolboy sensation in rugby and league.
I think he's a long-term future there at the Dolphins, but O'Sullivan might be the preference to start, given it's a new organisation They're going to have an experienced forward pack, so they probably need an experienced half as well, just to start their season and be a safer option. But Katoa is a very, very good player. You talk about Dylan Brown. Look, the strong whispers are that he's going to go.
Dylan Brown?
Dylan Brown.
Wow, because I've heard Moses, as a lot of people have, that Moses is going to go.
Yeah, I think
they're going to lose both their halves.
I think Parramatta are a chance of losing both halves.
And they've just played in a grand final.
Yeah.
Isn't that, as Buzz said the other day, I know you're off on Monday, Lozop. What does that say about Parramatta? If you can't even keep your grand final halves. Mm.
Well, they made a mistake in allowing them both to come off contract at the same time.
Mm.
That's an issue.
They seem
but
to...
But they will have to offer one of them overs, by the sounds of things. They're going to have to make a play at one.
Okay, which one is it? Interesting. Do you take... Well, so Mitch Moses, what, 28? Still, you could say he's in the prime of his career right now. Dylan Brown, the best is probably yet to come. What is he, 22, 21,
well, that's what you're 22. Probably looking at, the best to come. And if you think that Dylan Brown has got more upside in him, then that's the one you go for. But what we do know is to get a good halfback, they're very rare to get. Mm. They're hard to get. And if you've got one that's established in your organisation, you're better off to keep him than roll the dice and hope that you get another seven coming through. I don't know what's underneath Moses and Brown out there at Parramatta. I don't know whether Jake Arthur is the right man to take over. But what I would say is they've got to keep at least one of them. They can't allow both to go.
Just some football news in relation to Cristiano Ronaldo, heavily discussed in relation to his exploits at Portugal at the moment after, of course, leaving Manchester United by mutual consent. And therefore, the A-League certainly put their name up and said, well, we'll take you if you want to come over here. So this in the Herald today, A-League boss Denny Townsend, whilst conceding, the 37-year-old star won't be here in the short term. He's told the Sydney Morning Herald that we had interesting discussions. There was genuine interest, but it's clear Ronaldo has other priorities at this stage. So not quite at this point, but we wait to see where he'll go next. And by the way, the A-League's drawn up a hit list of about 35 names earlier this year, and Luis Suarez, the Uruguayan, is amongst it, and there's a lot of big names that could become free agents soon after the World Cup. But Ronaldo and LeBron, not at the Novotel quite yet.
Yeah, I think that would be an absolute dream come true if we could pull a player like that. But I don't think it's happening in the near future.
No, I think you're probably right there. Just also, Rugby Australia, we've been speaking about Eddie Jones this week, and he has been sacked there by England Rugby. He's under Rugby Australia under pressure, certainly, to get him involved in some way, shape, or form here with the Wallabies. And the Herald saying that Jones will walk away from England Rugby with a $1.3 million payout. But the Herald also saying there's a non-compete clause as well as part of leaving England Rugby early. Now, Rugby Australia boss Andy Marinos, he's reiterated again that Dave Rennie's contracted through the World Cup and will be the coach. Simon Poitevin in the Herald today saying, well, why not use Eddie as South Africa did when Jake White led the Springboks to World Cup victory back in 2007, had Eddie as a consultant. But again, this comes down to probably the non-compete and the non-disclosure agreement that's done on the release between the two parties, Jones and English Rugby. But yeah, a lot of pressure on RA to get him involved soon with the Wallabies in whatever way, shape or form. But could you have him working with Dave Rennie?
Well, the only issue is, I think that could be tough. I don't know how that would work and whether Dave Rennie would be accepting of having Eddie Jones come in over the top of him, 12 months out from a World Cup. Eddie Jones, what we do know, is a very good rugby union coach that will have a lot of offers on the table. It's believed that Rugby America are chasing him and chasing him very hard, and they're hosting a World Cup. I think in 31, is it?
31, yeah. 31. 23 France, 27 Australia, yep. 31 USA.
31 in USA. Mm. So obviously they'll have money in their coffers, and Eddie is a very talented coach, gets the best out of any team he's coaching. Obviously, he's a prickly character at times. But Rugby Australia, I think they need to talk to Eddie to get his thoughts on whether he'd be open to a return to coaching here in Australia or taking up a director of rugby coaching role. But they made it quite clear that Dave Rennie is taking this team to the World Cup. They haven't had the results that they're after, but you could argue that they got very, very close and they're heading in the right way. And the trajectory is very much on the up. Losing by a point to France, pushing Ireland all the way. And they're two of the heavyweights for the next year's World Cup. So I don't know. I don't know whether you go back to Eddie. I think you stick to Dave Rennie at this point in time. Have a discussion around where Eddie is at, whether he could work with the current Australian board. But you can't lose his intellect to the game. And I'm sure that other nations would be looking at it closely and making a phone call and seeing what Eddie Jones is up to.
Got time for David. Morning, David. Hello, David. Good morning.
How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. What do you want to talk about? That's
right. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the betting thing while you've been talking about Tommy Berry. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a few, this integrity stuff and that's a little bit out of hand with some of the betting. But just a couple of points. Wouldn't you like to know that, if you I'm an owner, yeah. If you're an owner of a horse and your jockey walks into the mounting enclosure and says, I've had a thousand on the horse today.
The jockey can't do that.
No, I know, mate, but wouldn't you like to know that your jockey, if he's had a bet on your horse that he's riding, right, you'd be going out with confidence and doubling your bet, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, and for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you run a survey and ask them, like, obviously they can't bet on other horses in the same race, but why can't the jockeys have a bet somewhere else where they're not riding at that? They've got just as much chance of losing their money as what you and I have, So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
I suppose it just takes the speculation out of it. 100%. If you make a blanket rule and just say, listen, guys, exactly. You just can't do it, regardless of whether you want to bet on yourself or bet against yourself. Definitely can't do that, obviously. But, I understand your point because I think a lot of people out there would think, why don't we just allow them to do it? Trainers are allowed to do it. Owners are allowed to
bet. The can of worms you could open.
But then you just open it up.
Exactly right. And like you say, Loz, totally understand what you're saying, David, but if you allowed them to bet at all, it could lead down a very dangerous path.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're trying to stop. Just do the old blanket rule, just you can't do it.
Yeah.
While it does at times make sense saying you should be allowed to bet on the horse that you're riding on, it could get out of control and then you might cause some integrity issues.
Mm. And, in all sport, if we lose any sort of measure of integrity, we're in big trouble.
Mm.
Big, big trouble. We've seen that in many examples across all sports over time. So, but thanks for the call, mate. Take your point for sure.
Get into Totally Workwear right on here for all your summer workwear gear. We stock the biggest and best brands like King G, Hardjacker, FXD and Steel Blue. Does your workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Ask for Loz's discount when you buy a new pair of boots and Darren will give you $20 off the price. Now, it's open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear, Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. We've got you covered.
Dave Stanley, good morning.
Jared, Loz, Pup, how are we this morning, gents?
Yes, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. Looking forward to Thursday. Looking forward to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a good weekend, boys. We've got some good racing and good time of the year, isn't it?
Outstanding, yeah. And I believe you had some Christmas drinks last night.
We did, yeah. We had some Sky Sports Radio Racing HQ Christmas drinks, a little opening session. No, it was good.
Best on ground, who was it?
Best on ground. best on ground. I would say, who would you say? Nick's looking at me. Nick Kunyak, he was there.
Was the great D. Flindell there?
He was there. I'd say, Darren.
He's always out.
I reckon Darren.
Standing for a nail.
Darren's always BOG because he's, because he arrived from Warwick Farm yesterday late. And he just was ready to roll.
Tongue in, ready to roll.
And, of course, Hong Kong was on last night, with the international. So it was just everything was just coming together. And I would say yes. Although I did cause some controversy, boys, because I was out of there at 10. I was out of there early.
Did you get sledged on the way out?
Yeah, I got massive sledges saying, Stanley, we see you on Instagram all the time, you know, here, there and everywhere. And yet to the Christmas party, you can't dig in. But as I sort of said to them, well, it's the motor vehicle the next day, boys, as we know, driving from the east to the north and not really keen on.
Talking about digging in then, Dave, have we found out what happened with Foodgate?
No.
No, we still haven't found out.
And
that would have been discussed last night, wouldn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No,
there was a lot of things discussed, not Foodgate, though. The one thing I will
say, if it's not being discussed, you know what? That means that someone in the party's guilty.
Well, there's two names I want to mention. Right, and I'm probably going to get cut off
innocent
by saying
or guilty,
this.
These names.
Well, I'm just going to mention two names. Right. You know, when you're playing a bit of Cluedo and there's strange things happening. So, as you know, one of our fearless leaders, Will Davies, right? Every time I've been mentioning this Foodgate, gets a bit weird. Right. Doesn't want to change the subject.
Will. That's just him.
Oh, that's
though.
Just Will.
That's just him. He's
and the
weird.
Other one that got quite animated when I mentioned it to him was John O'Farr. Now, Jono's also here quite early of a morning, so Jono would know. What's happening with the fridges? But when I did mention it to him, it was just animation and, you know, almost like disgust, but over the top.
I don't want to put words in your mouth then, Dave.
Yeah.
But are you sort of half accusing John O'Neill?
No, not accusing. I'm just saying I find it interesting people's responses. When you tell them something and they respond in a certain way, it just sort of makes you think, well, is it, you know, are they involved in some sort of way?
So you know, Jono's just gone to HR.
Well, he's wearing a Manly shirt, so I had to get stuck into him this morning.
Accusations, DS. Dangerous time
in
today's society to make them.
Do you think that's an accusation?
Is an accusation. I think you need to be very careful of defamation as well. This could be a costly little episode.
Is Jono going to sue me?
He might.
Jono, I've got nothing. you've heard Racing HQ and you've heard
half
about my punting stories.
Lots, buddy.
Hello, Bryden's Laws.
Hello. Yeah, Lee's
yeah,
on the phone.
Got a defamation case for you. You might want to take this. Big personality.
Jono, he's accusing you of stealing.
Yeah, I did hear this.
I just said your
response was a bit off, Jono.
I'm not in the best shape, boys, but please, I'm not taking food out of the fridge.
Spaghetti?
That's a low blow.
It's an interesting choice for breakfast as well, the spag bowl. It's got to be a lunch or afternoon feed. I don't think it's a morning person that's knocked it off, DS.
Well, the other interesting thing too, and I haven't seen this for years, boys, you know what else is up in the fridge up there? Remember the old Kraft Parmesan cheese that's not Parmesan cheese? The green container? Remember that, the old green container that Mum and Dad would have when you make spaghetti? You'd put it on.
I thought it was a blue box.
No, it was like a green sort of tub thing with the red lid. Yeah. Haven't seen it for years.
Yeah, okay. Nope.
There you go.
Don't know it.
Peter Snowden's on the program this morning, Racing HQ.
Thanks for that.
Chris Roots, David Payne, Joe Pryor, John O'Shea and Sarah Ryan. So obviously looking towards this big Ingham. I tell you what, boys, Nugget mightn't get a start. Gee, there's some synergy, isn't there, with Nugget possibly being your favourite for the Ingham. Of course, we know how they've been with their chickens. You know, surely, I mean, we've had the Colgate Optic White. Surely KFC are lurking around, you know.
You're
the
struggling,
KFC,
Dave. You're struggling.
Yeah, I know. Have a good... Jono's filthy, actually. Now you got me worried about defamation. Pup.
I'll be ringing the lawyers.
Bryden's.
I'll be ringing your
Just
lawyer.
Just get on that West Tigers board.
Yep, I'll be ringing the lawyers.